It's like a game of whack-a-mole. One lawsuit pops up after another one goes down. That's a shorthand description of a two-decade legal battle between the residents of Ecuador's Lago Agria region and the Chevron oil company. Here's a more detailed look at the story. This week, a judge ruled that the Ecuadorians can pursue their case against Chevron in Canada. The residents are trying to collect damages that were awarded to them by a court in Ecuador. They had originally sued Chevron after the company was found guilty, again in Ecuador, of contaminating a large area of the Amazon jungle. Chevron was ordered to pay $18 billion in damages. The company refused, saying the ruling in Ecuador was influenced by fraud and bribery. But now a Canadian judge has ruled in favor of the plaintiffs, giving them a green light to seek a reduced payment of $9.5 billion. Christopher Gowan is an adjunct law professor at the American University in Washington. He's also part of the legal team representing the Ecuadorians.
Before the judgment was earned against Chevron in Ecuador, Chevron and Texaco removed all their assets out of Ecuador. So there's no assets of Chevron's in Ecuador. And so to collect on this judgment for the people of Ecuador to have their water cleaned, they have to go to other countries where Chevron has billions and billions of dollars of assets, and Canada is one of those countries where they have assets.
And why isn't the case in a U.S. court?
Chevron brought a RICO lawsuit in the U.S. courts to prevent any collection in the United States, and that case is still pending.
RICO's racketeering and corruption charges.
That's correct. So that case is still pending. You know, with that case pending, there's not going to be any collection in the United States.
Well, it's a really complicated case, Christopher. Take us back to the original lawsuit. What happened in Ecuador?
So, you know, unlike the situations with BP, the Deepwater Horizon, and the Exxon Valdez, where both of those situations were accidents. You know, they were negligent accidents, and those companies, they had accidents, and they've paid. And they've paid in the cleanup in the Alaska waters and in the Gulf of Mexico is ongoing and occurred, and a lot of cleanup has happened. And unfortunately, in Ecuador, this happened before both of those incidents, and it was deliberate. There's international standards of how to deal with oil and crude, and Chevron violated them. It was Texaco at that point, but they built these giant pits in Ecuador and dumped them in there, and those pits leaked into the Amazon, and the water's completely contaminated, and
the evidence.
Yeah. Oh, it's still very much contaminated and still very much in need of cleanup. Yeah.
So, as you said, Chevron's been unwilling to make good on the settlement. What weight can this California-based company bring to a courtroom in Canada?
Well, first of all, it's not a settlement. It's a judgment. They certainly did not settle this case. They went to trial and lost on the subsequent appeals. You know, in Canada, what they were able to do was get a judge to say whether or not the Ecuadorians should be able to collect money in Canada through the full faith and credit of a judgment in Ecuador. They were able to postpone that and stay those proceedings, which is somewhat absurd. But unfortunately, this week, a Canadian judge and a Canadian appellate court said it's not going to be stayed. And in fact, in a nice part of the opinion, the judge wrote that Chevron's spokesperson has said that they would fight this case until hell freezes over, and then they would fight it on the ice. And the judge said, well, Ontario is where the ice is, and you're going to have to fight in Ontario. So there's now eventually going to be a hearing in Canada over whether or not the Ecuadorians can collect this judgment in Canada.
Right. So it's a reduced payment of $9.5 billion. Do you think the Ecuadorians are ever going to see any of that?
I sure hope so. I mean, I wouldn't be working on this case. I mean, I certainly believe that, you know, that justice should eventually prevail. But it is, you know, it's certainly discouraging when you see how much money Chevron has and how much they're able to, in the amount of delay they're able to achieve with all the money they have. But, you know, maybe by the time my 3-year-old is graduated law school, she can enforce this judgment. But I think it's, you know, it's going to take time, unfortunately, and it's taken way too much time. And, you know, you or I would never be able to avoid a judgment against us for the amount of time Chevron has. But unfortunately, Chevron is able to do that.
I mean, Chevron has said it's evaluating its next steps. I mean, what's the incentive for Chevron to pay up?
Well, I mean, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars a day on lawyers. They have a judgment. They've lost the case. I mean, eventually, it's going to catch up to them, and people are going to say, well, if I'm at a corner and I have a choice between Exxon and Chevron, I'm going to go with Exxon and not Chevron. this is sort of a bad business model on their part to act like they're above the law. And so that's our hope, yeah.
Christopher Gowan, an adjunct law professor at the American University in Washington. He's also part of the legal team representing the Ecuadorians in their case against Chevron. Thank you.
Thank you.